The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Mabuhay, and welcome friends to the Adobro Podcast, where we explore the heart of Filipino culture one delectable dish at a time. I'm your host, DJ Stingray, and in this podcast series, we'll venture through the sizzling stories, origins, and savory goodness of Filipino cuisine. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Adobro Podcast. Hope all of you guys have been good. As always, this is your host, DJ Stingray, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about my favorite Filipino soup. The soup is sour, it has all the vegetables your heart desires, and the protein in it is always your choice. Whether it's beef, pork, or oxtail, and even fish, this soup will always serve you guys well when you're feeling a little bit under the weather. So rev up your stoves and prepare your crock pots, because today's dish is sinigang. That's right, we're going to be talking about the oh-so-sour and savory dish that calls my name whenever I see it. And I'm not joking when I tell you guys, I could sip on this soup's broths for days and days on end and not get tired of it. It's that good. But you guys already know the drill by now. I'm going to start off with its origin in the Philippines today, followed by how to make this at home, and lastly, by a story of mine. So without further ado, let's hop right into the mix. Or shall I say, the sinigang mix. Okay. You guys look at that joke later, trust me. But let's just get started. So the origins of sinigang are a little bit hazy, but it's believed to have originated in the Philippines during the pre-colonial era. It is known, though, that the indigenous people of the Philippines have been using tamarind, the main player of sinigang, as a souring agent for the dishes for centuries. And over time, the dish itself has evolved, as with many other Pinoy dishes, with different regions and ethnic groups putting their own spin on it. As the dish's popularity has kept growing, sinigang became more popular in the 20th century, actually, as it was brought to Manila and other cities by migrants from the provinces. And now, it's even considered a national dish of the Philippines, and it can be found in Filipino restaurants all over the world. But yeah, that's a little crash course on its origins. And now for a breakdown on the dish itself. So sinigang typically includes a protein such as pork, beef, shrimp, or fish. I know my dad likes adding oxtail every once in a while for a little variety. And it also includes vegetables like okra, eggplant, baby bok choy, and tomatoes. However, sinigang can be made with different kinds of meat, seafood, and vegetables depending on personal preference. So after I tell you guys how to make it, it's really up to you what to put in there, you know? Some people I know like to add a little bit of fish sauce, or patis is what they call it, or shrimp paste to give it a little bit extra kick of flavor. And with the versatility of the ingredients in sinigang, there's also so many different variations of it that have been developed through the region of the Philippines. That includes sinigang na hipon, which is with shrimp, sinigang na baboy, which is with pork, and even sinigang na ista, which is with fish. So before we get to how to serve this soup up for yourselves, I want to start with the main player of sinigang that I mentioned before, the tamarind. So the one thing that makes the sinigang unique is the use of tamarind as the main souring agent. Tamarind itself is a leguminous tree that produces a pod-like fruit. And from this fruit pods, the pulp inside is used to make the sour paste that's used to flavor sinigang. And because of the sourness, tamarind is known for its high acidity, and that's what gives sinigang its distinctive sour taste, is the acidity. So because of that, tamarind is a versatile ingredient that can be used in so many different ways to make sinigang and all the different variations. Alrighty, so let's get to the fun part, shall we? How to make this soup. So you guys are going to want to get yourself these ingredients. And first, before I actually say the ingredients, today's recipe is going to be for beef sinigang. But of course, feel free to try any of the different variations that I mentioned, you know, fish, pork, oxtail, all that good stuff. But yeah, you're going to want to start with some water, canola oil, chopped onions, diced tomatoes, baby bok choy, a few cloves of garlic, and of course, the MVP of the dish, the tamarind mix, which you could buy pre-made. And this mix is something that you could generally find at any Filipino store for sure. I know my dad likes to get it from Seafood City, or there's also this small mom and pop Filipino store by our house. I think you actually even be able to find it at any Asian market itself. It's pretty popular. But yeah, those are the ingredients. And now on to cooking. So step one, you're going to heat the canola oil that you have, about 2 tablespoons of canola oil, in a medium pot or crock pot. My dad prefers the crock pot, gives the soup a little bit more pressure to cook, but it's just general preference. And next, you're going to saute the diced onions and garlic that you have in the canola oil until golden brown, or until it's a little bit tender. But yeah, you're going to want to see that golden brown color is what you're looking for. Once they're that color, the next step is to add your beef into the pot and saute. So for the beef, you're going to want to wait until it's browned, but obviously not fully cooked because it's going to cook itself in the soup. Once the beef is browned, you're going to pour about, I'd say, 4 cups or so of water into the pot and bring that to a boil. At the same time, while you're pouring that water in, you're also going to want to add your tamarind soup base for that sour flavor. And yeah, you're going to reduce the overall heat of the mix, letting it simmer for about 30 minutes or so. And in that 30 minutes, the tamarind soup is going to flow into the beef and really make that sour taste that's so distinct. The final steps of sinigang are as follows. So you're going to add your sliced tomatoes on top of that mix, as well as the baby bok choy. And some other preferences are some daikon radishes or eggplants if you prefer those. Personally, I could do without those. I could just do with the tomatoes, onions, and that's my favorite part. But let the entire mix simmer for about another 20 minutes, and you're going to stir that occasionally to make sure that everything is cooked evenly. And there you have it. Boom. That's how you make sinigang. So the last and final step, obviously, of the dish is the best part, serving it up in a hot steaming bowl with rice and just enjoying it. Now we're going to transition to the story part of the podcast. So the story this week is a little bit different again, because it's not a personal story from, say, my experience, but it is a personal story because it involves my family. So this story is actually just a story that my dad has told me, you know, multiple times, and it involves my grandpa. This one happens to be my mom's side, so my grandpa or my mom's dad. And it takes place when my dad and mom first moved in together, living under the same roof with my grandparents. So, you know, be sure to listen up. It's going to be an interesting one. And yeah, let's hop right in. So as you guys may know, my dad is the main cook of the house, and I've emphasized that almost every podcast, but before he was the main cook of the house, the main cook of the house happened to be my grandpa. And he was the main cook for my mom, my grandma, for anyone else that lived in the house, he was the main cook. As things settled in with my dad and my mom living together for the first time, my grandpa had to adjust his cooking just a little bit, not in the ingredients per se, but he just had to add one more plate or bowl for my dad. So portion sizes were a tiny bit different. But as time went on, my dad told me that my grandpa would teach him how to make certain dishes or what he prefers to do when he makes them. And my dad, the eager learner he is, he'd always be so excited to learn how to improve his own cooking and, more importantly, how to make food just the way my mom likes it, which is so sweet. And one of those dishes, as you guys may already be guessing, my grandpa taught my dad to make more was sinigang. So while my grandpa did everything pretty much the same as my dad from his experience cooking sinigang, the one thing that he did differently was use a crock pot. And my dad told me that my grandpa insisted that sinigang be made in the crock pot to, you know, really intensify the flavors of the tamarind and make it nice and sour, just how my mom likes it. So after seeing how my grandpa would make it in the crock pot, my dad would begin asking my grandpa, you know, whenever the craving came around in the household for sinigang, if he could make it for the family. And my dad said if he could get the approval from my grandpa for his cooking, that he knew it, he'd be able to make my mom happy for the rest of her life. And yeah, after all, you know, food is the way to someone's heart. So after a few trial and errors runs of making sinigang, you know, every few months, my dad would finally achieve a pot of sinigang approved by my grandpa. But before that, he did tell me that one of those test runs even included a crock pot exploding, and synagogue broth getting sprayed all over the wall. And my dad still remembers to this day how he said he had to spend hours cleaning and scrubbing the walls to make sure the kitchen didn't permanently smell like synagogue. And my dad looks back at it now and laughs, but he tells me that there's probably some bits of synagogue stuck in the crevices of our kitchen walls to this day, which makes me laugh. But eventually, you know, my dad finally nailed the recipe my grandpa made and crock pounded all. My dad finally achieved what he'd been wanting to do. My grandpa, my mom, my dad couldn't be happier. And my dad said my grandpa was so happy, you know, knowing that his daughter, my mom, that she would still be eating his synagogue even when he was gone. And the special thing too about this whole story is that my dad still uses the same crock pot, the same exact one that my grandpa would use to this day. So every time the synagogue is being made, that crock pot is being used, and the synagogue comes out just the way I like it. And what's even more important, just the way that my mom has always loved it ever since she was a child with my grandpa making it. And I believe that story in and of itself, it always brings a smile to my face just knowing that my grandpa's synagogue, my grandpa himself, he lives on through my dad, and now it's been passed on to me. And personally, I don't think I can wait anymore to make that same recipe for my family when it comes time. Like, I'm so excited for that. Knowing that my grandpa lives on, just not beyond my dad, but through me, through the dish. For that reason, and that reason alone, I'd say that's what makes synagogue more than just a dish. It's a real integral part of Filipino culture. It's an integral part of my family. It's a popular dish to serve during the rainy season. It's always been said that the hot soup is said to warm the body and the soul. For that reason, synagogue will continue to be served during any special occasion in Filipino culture. Whether it's a birthday party, a wedding, a debut, any celebration, it'll be there. And to this day, it's a common and heartwarming dish to serve whenever guests come over. Heck, I know my dad still loves making synagogue for me. You know, whenever I come home from school, whenever I come home sick, it's something he does just to welcome me back to the house. And just looking back when I was younger, he'd also make synagogue for me and my friends whenever they'd come over, you know, just to welcome them to the house as well, a welcoming party. So synagogue's hearty and comforting nature can feed almost any crowd. It could feed them anytime, any place. And because of that, it'll continue to be a symbol of family, a symbol of Filipino tradition, and most importantly, a symbol of unity in Filipino culture. And just as my grandpa nurtured his family with synagogue, so too has my dad with me and my brother and my mom, and as will I one day with my family. As I wrap up with that message, it looks like that'll do it for today. As always, I urge you guys to try some synagogue for yourselves. It's as easy as buying the packet that comes any Asian store. I know it does. How could you not want to try it? I thank you guys for sticking around with me this episode and for continuing to listen to the podcast. It really means a lot that you guys keep coming around, and I appreciate all the support. So make sure to tune in next week for yet another tasty and flavor-filled dish that you won't want to miss. This has been the Adobro Podcast once more, and this is DJ Stingray saying, I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their week. Stay safe, and peace out.